Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It is Friday. We are nearly at the weekend, or look, by the time you're watching or listening to this, it might well be the weekend as we head towards the North London Derby on Sunday. Mikel Arteta will be speaking a bit later on today. Again, by the time you're watching or listening to this, he may well have already spoken at his press conference, which is due to kick off at 1:30 p.m. UK time at the Shoba Realty Centre. So we'll get the latest from him in terms of any team news. I don't know, anything like that. We'll get his views ahead of a massive, massive weekend of football once again. So we'll talk about that North London derby in today's show. I wanted to sort of focus it on some of the big decisions facing Mikel Arteta, especially in that midfield. Has Thomas Partey played his way into the starting lineup with that performance against Chelsea? So we'll focus on that today. We've got lots of comments from you guys on that exact topic. Also on what we discussed yesterday about Bruno Guimarães and Arsenal possibly being in for him in the summer. We'll talk about last night's football as well. Manchester City moving to within 1 point of Arsenal in the title race. A little bit on Kieran Tierney as well, who suffered another injury setback over in Spain. So let's get started, shall we? And I wanted to start with this man, Thomas Partey, who certainly took his opportunity to impress against Chelsea when he's given that starting spot in the midfield alongside Declan Rice and Martin Odegaard. First time this season in the Premier League that we got to see what, you know, basically is Arteta's dream midfield this season, or was Arteta's dream midfield this season. It was the first time we got to see it in the Premier League. We had to wait until late April. Such a shame. But it did exactly what we all expected it probably would do, and that was be a real bedrock of an excellent Arsenal performance. You got Thomas Partey sitting as a six. You got Declan Rice playing in that sort of more advanced role that he really has excelled at this season when he's played there, and Martin Odegaard, of course, doing what Martin Odegaard does. But the big question now is, do you stick with that midfield against Tottenham? In my mind, I always thought Thomas Partey was probably going to start that game against Chelsea. I put him in my predicted 11. But I was doing it with the view that I was expecting Arteta to bring Jorginho into the midfield against Spurs. Now, having seen the way Thomas Partey performed and seeing how Arsenal performed and seeing how Martin Odegaard and Declan Rice performed with Thomas Partey sitting just behind them, and it was quite a fit-looking Thomas Partey as well. You know, he's looked pretty sluggish at times since he's come back from his injury. In some of those substitute appearances, I've thought Thomas Partey, I didn't think he looked like that against Chelsea. I thought he got up to speed of that game pretty, pretty quickly. He looked fit. He looked healthy. He was moving the ball well. He looked good on the ball. And I think you've got to play him, really. I really do. I think Jorginho's been excellent this season. At times, certainly in big games, I think he's had a big, big impact on the season for Arsenal. But I think given the way Thomas played and the fact that he's had 5 days rest now, look, obviously, if there's been any sort of setback from the game on Tuesday night. You know, if he's suffered any sort of, you know, I don't know if his legs are tight or whatever, any sort of muscle injuries, which you know Thomas Partey can be very, very likely. If anything like that's happened, then of course you don't take a risk. But if he feels fine, if he's trained fine, had no issues at all since that Chelsea game, I think you've got to play Thomas at the heart of that midfield, haven't you? And have, again, just Declan Rice playing in that eight role where he can be so decisive, really, and has been so decisive at times this season. You play him in that eight role alongside Martin Odegaard. That is a very, very strong looking midfield to deal with what is going to be a really tough, tough game to navigate for Arsenal. So that's what I think. I think you've got to stick with Thomas Partey. I think you stick with the same starting 11, which raises another interesting point in terms of what you do on the left-hand side. Now, Gabriel Martinelli obviously hasn't had the best of seasons, certainly by the standards he set last season. He hasn't had a poor season, but he's not been able to sort of maintain the sort of standard he set last season, certainly in front of goal. Looks like he's lacking a little bit of confidence. I think the chance that he didn't take when he went through at the end of that Chelsea game when he came on highlighted that, because that's a chance he would normally stick away with ease, and we've seen him stick away with ease at times. But I look at how Spurs are probably going to line up and how they play and the chances that they give to teams. And you look at that sort of pace that Martinelli's got, that acceleration that Martinelli's got, as a real weapon that Arsenal could use against Tottenham. And as good as Trossard is and has been, and he scored obviously the big first goal to set Arsenal on their way to the win against Chelsea on Tuesday night, he doesn't quite have that pace and that acceleration. He's a very different type of player. He loves playing in tight spaces, sort of linking up with players in around the final third. But Martinelli does have that pace that could really scare Tottenham and hurt Tottenham. We've seen so many teams hurt Tottenham down the flanks already this season. So I think that's a big decision. You know, I say stick with the same 11, but I think the Trossard-Martinelli one is probably a tougher decision than what Mikel's got facing him at in the centre midfield. Obviously, the other one is left-back, but I think, again, if Tomiyasu's fit, I think you start with Tomiyasu, just like you did against Chelsea. I don't think that's really too difficult a decision for Mikel. I think mainly Martinelli is a tougher one. Loads of you have been getting in touch in terms of what you think Mikel should potentially do for this game. You've got top there, KK Too Bad says, I defo think we should keep Partey for another year, but also sign another top central defensive midfielder. That was in response to what I was talking about yesterday with Partey's contract due to expire in a year's time, and someone was asking what I thought might well happen for him. A Ron says, hi, Charles. So David Ornstein says he expects one of Jorginho or Partey to leave. Given maybe the lack of serious bids for Thomas, given his wages and injury situation, do you think Arsenal didn't trigger Georgie's contract extension to see what happens with Partey in the summer? I don't know necessarily. The Georgie contract sort of extension or the clause in his contract, from my understanding, it's not a simple, we take up that clause and extend it by another year. And I think that's gone now. It's a tough one. I haven't been able to properly nail it down, but I think there were certain sort of numbers that needed to be met, certain games that needed to be met by a certain time for that clause to be able to be taken up, or something, or minutes. It wasn't a simple one. I haven't got right down to the bottom of it. But I don't think it was just, just given that contract. And that, I think that's why, you know, Arsenal now are looking to get him tied down, or hoping to potentially get him tied down to a longer one. And that's, you know, basically it's going to be up to him what he decides to do in the summer. So I don't think it's necessarily down to that why Arsenal didn't trigger Georgie's contract extension. I think there was other factors at play that made it a lot more complicated than just a typical contract extension. IRD 2607 says it has to be the same starting 11. It's all about momentum now, isn't it? The subs are okay against Chelsea. They didn't concede, but they didn't score either. Probably should have scored. In fact, definitely should have scored. Momentum through continuity. And dare I say it, when our lead is comfortable enough, there's positivity for you. Get ahead and make the same substitutions once more. And then we've got Joe here who's got in touch. It's, hi, Charles. Partey must start. He was taken off while we were in cruise control, so he'd have had plenty of rest. I think we are going to need strength and power in the middle, which he will give us, which Georgie lacks. He also takes most of the defensive worries off. Rice has proven against Chelsea. On paper, Everton set up much more compact compared to Spurs, who play over high line, who will be constantly wide open for the counter-attack. Therefore, if we play our game, chances will come against Spurs and Everton will be harder to break down and could in fact be more difficult to play against. An early goal could produce a rout against Spurs their handball is so predictable. Again, obviously, you're talking there about how Liverpool struggled to play against Everton. And I was saying, you know, Tottenham are better than Everton. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Maybe Arsenal will get more chances. The way that Tottenham play, they are pretty open. You do tend to get chances against Spurs. And that's why I was saying the sort of Martinelli-Trossard decision is going to be quite an interesting one. As Jared at the bottom there says, he says, I think Trossard needs to continue purely down to form. However, I understand the reasoning for Martinelli due to Spurs' high line and potentially the absences of Porro and Doggy. Regarding CM, I think after that performance against Chelsea, Partey has to start depending on his recovery. However, Spurs' midfield will be far better than Chelsea's, I feel. So that's what you guys have been saying ahead of Sunday's North London derby. So Son has been speaking. I thought these were interesting comments. It says, this is what Son says ahead of Sunday's game. He said, we've had a massive week to prepare for this game and we're feeling great. I'm always the type of guy, full confidence going into the games, believing in myself. It's not important that I scored 6 goals previously in this game. I just need to be ready for the biggest game of the season. So a couple of interesting things there. Son saying it's the biggest game of the season for Tottenham, which again just highlights what I was talking about yesterday. This is going to be an absolute bear pit for Arsenal on Sunday. They are going to have to deal with a hugely hostile atmosphere and a team that are really up for it. But more importantly, from this comment, we've had a massive week to prepare for this game. They haven't had a massive week. They've had 2 massive weeks to prepare for this game. All of their focus for the last 15 days since they got hammered at Newcastle has been on the North London derby. I'm not saying that necessarily will be a good thing for Spurs, because you don't know. You know, do you lose your rhythm a bit when you don't play for so long, when you see teams come back from international breaks and players come back from international breaks when they haven't been around each other for a while? It takes a little bit of time to get rhythm going. Not all the time, but sometimes. So I'm not saying, yeah, Tottenham having this huge break while Arsenal played about 5 games in the same amount of time will definitely benefit them. But I think the fact they've had nothing to focus on apart from this game, you have to feel it probably will be a bit of a benefit. And it's just going to add to the difficulties that Arsenal are going to face on Sunday. Yeah, they're going to have to be on it. It is a huge game. It really is. And it's been made even more big, obviously, by what Manchester City did yesterday, going to Brighton and winning comfortably. Sort of deep down, you're looking at it thinking, oh, it could be a tricky game. But Arsenal went to Brighton and won comfortably the other day. And you know, this isn't the Brighton sort of side that we've seen be really, really difficult to beat in the last couple of seasons, especially at home. They're missing so many players. You looked at their starting lineup yesterday against Man City. As soon as I looked at that, I was like, there's absolutely zero pace in that team. They're not going to be able to get out. It is just going to be all-out attack from Manchester City, and Brighton being pegged back time and time again. And it's exactly what it was. And from the moment De Bruyne scored that header, there was only going to be one winner. I mean, City certainly got a lot of help in that game. How on earth they get a free kick for the second goal for Foden basically falling over, I have no idea. And then they get the deflection that goes in from that free kick. And, you know, it's hard enough to play against Man City at the best of times. But when referees are giving decisions like that against you, it just makes it all the more difficult. And then even in the second half, Brighton absolutely should have had at least one penalty in that half, wasn't given. And City win by 4 and they moved closer to Arsenal in terms of goal difference as well. They're 8 behind now. And if they win their game in hand, which obviously they're going to need to, if they're going to continue to hold the advantage over Arsenal in the title race, then that goal difference is going to close even more as well. So I did have one eye on that when they were 4-0 up yesterday. I thought, oh God, I could do with them not scoring any more goals here. But they did look very, very impressive, as they always do at this time of year. You know, we know what City do. They just win, they win, they win, they win. And they just don't really give any other team another chance. But all Arsenal can do is keep concentrating on themselves. Win the next 4 games, which obviously is easier said than done. But try and win the next 4 games. And if you do that and City don't slip up, then you've done all you possibly can to push them. And that's all the focus has to be on Arsenal right now. But yeah, City certainly look in the mood. They certainly look like they're in that. I think they've lost since December, have they, now in the Premier League? It's going to be tough. As I was saying yesterday, it's going to be tough, but we shall see what happens.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Okay, moving on to Kieran Tierney now. Sad news, another injury for Kieran. Probably ends his season at Sociedad. Not really been the happiest of seasons for Kieran Tierney over there because of injuries once again. Played a bit, was fairly popular over there by the sounds of it, but had three big injuries now. Missed two big chunks of the season because of hamstring injuries, and now he's got an abductor muscle injury, which Sociedad confirmed in a statement. Whether he'll play again this season looks doubtful. Hopefully he'll be back in time for the Euros for Scotland, for him, from a personal point of view, obviously. But from an Arsenal point of view, it's just not been the loan spell that they're hoping for Kieran. They've just, you know, there was no real market for Kieran Tierney last summer. The expectation was he was going to go to Newcastle. That didn't materialise. So he went out on loan to Sociedad. I think Arsenal's point of view is like, well, let's go out, hopefully have a good spell over there, drive that, create more of a market for him and sell him this summer. But I think it's going to be incredibly difficult to sell Kieran Tierney this summer now, given he's had another injury ravaged season. I think he's had one start in the league for Sociedad since early January. You know, when he has been playing, he's been coming on off the bench for the majority of time, certainly in the league anyway. I think Arsenal are going to struggle. Probably when it comes to Kieran Tierney, they'll have to sort out his future. It's going to have to wait until after the Euros as well. Just feels like he's probably going to end up going out on loan again next season, but we shall see how that pans out in the summer. But hopefully he can get himself fit, he can get this injury doesn't rule him out too long, and he can come back certainly for Scotland in the Euros, because as I said, from a personal point of view, I know full well how much he will be desperate to be involved in that tournament this summer. Right, moving on, before we close this out with a few of questions and comments from you guys, here's one from Jack, who says, "Hi Charles, I'm seeing a lot of reports that we are turning our attention away from a striker after the performance of Kai. I just feel we are ending up in a lacquer problem now. I love Kai, never thought I would, but I feel we need an out-and-out striker. Do you feel that looking at the signing of Jesus and Kai, that actually Mikel doesn't want a traditional striker like the Spain team in 12 and 14? Love the shows, Jack." Thanks, Jack. I didn't ever think it was a foregone conclusion Arsenal were going to sign this absolute sort of powerhouse type number nine. Anyway, obviously there's lots of talk about Tony and things like that. I think Arsenal are going to sign a forward. They're going to sign an attacker. They're going to sign someone who can play as a striker. But I don't think necessarily it was always going to be a big, powerful number nine. It could easily be, you know, an Alexander Isak type, someone like that who can play out wide as well, or another sort of wide attacking winger. I don't think necessarily the performances of Kai have changed that opinion. I just think if you've got a player who can play that role very, very well, which Kai Havertz absolutely clearly can do, and he is a powerful number nine, he's a powerful sort of physical type guy. He is big, so he gives you that option if you need to go long to be able to go long. Do you need another one? If you've got, you know, you've got a certain amount of money to spend and you've got to look at where you need to improve your squad. I think it's certainly Havertz's reinvention almost as Arsenal's new number nine. I think it certainly probably does lessen the need to go out and sign that type of forward to give you a different type of option, because you have that option already in the squad, and Havertz has proved it can be a really useful option as well. So, it can be, that sort of money can definitely be spent elsewhere on improving the squad. That's all I can really say about it at the moment. I think it's still so, so up in the air. I'd love to sit here and tell you exactly what Arsenal are going to do in the transfer market this summer, but it is still very much up in the air. And you know, the word we're getting is that they're definitely on the look. They know they want to improve the attack. They know they need to sign someone who can maybe do something a little bit different, something that Arsenal don't really have in the squad at the moment. I think the way they went out of the Champions League to Bayern Munich certainly showed them that, and made Edu realise, if he hadn't already, that he needed that type of player who can just unlock a team with a bit of magic on his own when they're sitting in a low block and Arsenal are struggling to break them down. So whether that be a proper number nine or it be someone else in terms of the attack, we'll have to wait and see on it. And a few more before we go now. This was in response to what we were talking about yesterday with Bruno Guimarães, and we spoke about the reports linking Arsenal with potential move for Bruno in the summer. Fabrizio Romano actually yesterday tweeted out some information on Bruno's release clause. I think it was active from, is it the last week in May until the last week in June? So that's when you can activate the release clause of around 100 million. If it's not during that time or if it's after that time has passed, then it's all down to Newcastle. The release clause isn't active anymore. So basically, you've got a month. If you want to trigger that clause, you've got a month to do it. Corey says, I know it has divided opinion massively amongst the fan base, but I would take Bruno in a heartbeat. He could solve so many problems for us. Yes, he comes with baggage, but I feel the talent outweighs the rest. Also, to have a player like that in your team as opposed to being on the other team is a game changer. Guitar Freak says, I disagree with us splashing 100 million on Bruno. In my opinion, he's not a 100 million pound player. 100 million on Declan Rice is worth every penny. If we have to splash 100 million, it has to be on the level of Declan. I'd rather we spend 100 million on two Champions League proven players, either 50 million each or 60-40 respectively. Now, rumour has it that Frankie de Jong is available for around 70 million. He's what we need if we're looking for a trophy winning 6/8 with Champions League experience. I think we can negotiate it down to 60 plus add-ons for him. L1N Dean says, I don't think Guimarães would be a good fit for Arsenal. If he's going to cost in the region 100 million, I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole. And Dominic says, I like Bruno, but 100 million is a bit steep. Not sure of his best position in the midfield with Martin and Rice. Couple more here from I'm not sure how to pronounce that, I'm afraid. I wish you'd put your name at the end of it. It would make it easier. Is it Yomiev Veta? Says, hi, Charles. I disagree with you. I think we need to go all out for Bruno. He is the type of player we need beside Rice. Someone who's strong on the ball, he's good at dictating play and can pick a pass. I believe his best position is the number eight position. A lot of Newcastle fans don't think that is correct. I have to say, when they talk about where Bruno has been best for them, they all say six. He has so much to his game that when than to be played as a six. Rice can play as a six and Bruno G can play an eight or vice versa if we want. And TDTM82 says, hi, Charles. I'm a big fan of Fernandez. Fernandez? I presume you mean Guimarães here, not Fernandez. Says, I think it'd be a great move. I also think we need a striker and another option in defence is probably needed if the duo Saliba and Gabriel get injured. Interested to know what you think, who you think we will sell. The revenue from Champions League and everything will allow us at least one major marquee signing. On a personal front, I would much rather all-out beast striker and throw everything at that. Then we still have Irsar and Vieira who can play on the wing. But also, what players do we use to level up? This is the next step and it's about to get very, very expensive for this. Yeah, in terms of who I think Arsenal could sell, again, it's still very much up in the air. It depends who bids come in for. It's that simple, really. I think there's a few untouchable players in Arsenal squad, but then I think there's a lot who the club would probably consider selling if a really good bid arrives. You know, you've got Emil in that list, definitely. Sambi, Nuno Tavares, Kieran Tierney, who we've spoken about, you know, Zinchenko possibly. Players like that, you know, I don't think they would want to sell Zinchenko, but if someone comes in and whacks 30, 35 million on the table for Zinchenko in the summer, given Timber's coming back to fitness from his injury, then I wouldn't rule out Arsenal making, you know, selling a player like that just to bring in some money. Eddie Nketiah, obviously, Reece Nelson. There's lots and lots of players who would be available should a good offer come in. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting. There's such a divide, such a split in opinion on Bruno. You know, so many people think it'd be a great move, bringing him in, nasty player, can play in different positions, it'd be great. And then others say, no way, not at all. We don't need him, certainly not for 100 million. So it's certainly one that has divided opinion amongst the Arsenal fan base. All right, that's it from me, everyone. Thank you very much for your time. As always, appreciate you watching or listening. Mikel will be speaking later on today, as I said at the start, so keep your eyes peeled for all the usual stuff from the press conference as we build up to that huge game on Sunday at Spurs. I'll be back tomorrow to start previewing that game even more, so you want to get involved in that, anything you want to discuss ahead of North London Derby, you know what to do, get into the comments and I'll bring them together and get them included in tomorrow's show. Until then, everyone, have a fantastic start to your weekend. Speak to you soon. Bye bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.